Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
This is going to be a pretty sweet deal for you. He's rocking the trucker hat already.
New metal.
That's my friend Super Dan.
That's Super Dan?
Yeah, we call him Super Dan because he can do everything.
Is that true?
I can't do everything.
He can do everything. One time, I saw him throw up into a 16-ounce glass and he didn't spill a drop.
Wow. Super Dan. When someone says he can do anything, you're like, all right, whatever, this guy's a fucking handyman. But when the number one thing that Super Dan can do is throw up into a cup without spilling, it makes me wonder, what's number two on that list? He can eat an ass from the other side of a bathroom stall.
He killed a bug, so I didn't bite me.
That is true. Now that I know he knows you, it seems less creepy. But I just thought he was a guy, and I didn't see the bug. I just saw him going like this towards the back of your head.
Mushrooms.
It felt, it's right. Mushroom. Everyone is tripping balls in here. That's so smart.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Oh, yeah, so this next person that you are going to, you don't know anybody.
I don't.
This next person coming to the stage is a friend of mine.
Okay.
He is our celebrity stranger, so please welcome Ryan, everybody. Let Ryan hear it.
Ryan.
Here he comes. He's going to make his way down.
All right.
He needs an intern, so everyone keep
this
clapping.
Is Ryan. Yeah. Ryan.
Ryan!
So fucking love for Ryan.
Yes.
My God, look at this majestic beast of a man.
Thank you.
Tall drink of water walks in. Rick Ingram talks to strangers. Thank you for being here, Ryan.
I'm going to Kansas tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing in Kansas?
I am calling a Kansas versus Texas Tech football game.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to give you the heads up. This is how it's going to go. And Texas Tech scores again. The Kansas football team is so bad, they offered me 3 scholarships to play football this year. I have never played football in my life. It was... Even when I went to KU, it was so embarrassing.
Oh, you're a Jayhawk.
Yeah, I'm a Jayhawk.
There you go.
Jayhawk.
Racha.
Sorry.
What's funny about being a Jayhawk? I mean, I understand the other things that offended you.
Are you a Jay? Are you a Hawk?
All right, get this lady the fuck out of here. I'm trying to have a good time with
Take
Ryan.
Your record player.
How dare you? All right, so you announced college football.
I do.
All right. What got you into that? Were you an athlete?
Maybe, yeah, kind of.
When was the last time you played a sport?
Like 2005, probably.
All right. And what level are we talking here?
The highest level, I guess.
You were a professional athlete.
For a time, yeah.
Who said yeah? Are you trying to fuck a professional athlete or something? It got weird.
Yeah.
The highest
very,
level.
I was very excited when that guy walked in.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He knows immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The voice got deep, right?
Yeah.
Sure
it didn't get deep.
What sport did you play?
Football.
You were a football player. Okay. You're pretty tall, so what, you're a tight end?
I was a quarterback.
Fucking quarterback. The stud. Where'd you play college?
Washington State.
Woo! Oh, shit. We got another Washington Stater over there. Did you guys have any Somali Swedes on the team?
We didn't.
No?
Somali Swedes.
So much more racist back then. What year did you play basketball?
2008.
2008, so a little bit later. All right.
You played basketball at Washington State?
Yeah.
Oh, who was Coach Bennett, your coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. See?
Fuck, all right. Story checks out. Yeah. I was trying to figure out how to stump him on this. But then he knew the coach's name in 2008, so that's a pretty solid.
They were very good. I think you guys went to the tournament a couple times, right?
Yeah.
What did you get? What number did you get drafted?
I was the second overall.
You're number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sorry.
That's pretty good.
Are you Ryan Leaf?
I am.
That's super exciting now. Now it's super, yeah. Like, you're just a guy named Ryan. I'm like, I don't know any.
That's a pretty common name.
Yeah, there are some.
How many Ryans are in here? So it's not that common.
I mean, we have 40,000 people in this room for all the viewers at home.
There's a lot of people. I was a little nervous.
It's a decent amount. Yeah. I know you played on big stages before, but the belly room at the Comedy Store is a whole different thing.
Actually, when Sarah asked me to come to this, I didn't quite know what it meant, and I thought maybe I had to be funny, and I didn't know if that was possible.
Yeah, you're like, I can prepare something.
I can do something. I can write.
All right, and so you got who? The Chargers? Who drafted you? You were a Charger.
Down in San Diego at the time, though.
Right, when they were the real Chargers.
Right, not this fake thing that they got going on here.
It was weird. I went to a couple of Chiefs games down in San Diego. I've never been somewhere where there were no fans for the home team.
When I was there, we used to tell people we play 16 road games a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly how it was.
Like when Green Bay came to town, there were more cheeseheads in the audience, in the crowd, than it was. And we weren't very good, and neither was I, so it didn't go that
honestly,
well.
Honestly, you're better at football than any of the losers in this room. These losers are so unbelievably untalented in comparison. Their life stories aren't interesting at all.
That's why I do these podcasts.
Yeah. You knew. You said, I'm going to go somewhere where everyone has to respect me.
Everybody has to look at me and go, what was it? A handsome beast or something? Yeah,
a tall drink of water, majestic beast.
Majestic beast. Remember that, baby. Majestic beast.
That's your girl up there?
Yeah.
Where did you guys meet?
We met at my little brother, who Sarah knows as well. He's a comedian, sketch comic, and he was directing a pilot for Comedy Central. And short story, I just gotten out of prison like 6 months earlier.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start with the good stuff.
So I was like, I came down and went to a treatment facility, and my brother goes, come up and watch me work, because I hadn't seen him work. He'd written this comedy sketch show, and I was like, I have no money. I have money for gas. I can't drive up. But he was filming it in Oxnard. He said, hey, I'll pay for your gas. May just come up and watch your brother work. And I said, okay. So I went up and I was watching the whole thing play out, him directing it, and then this woman comes walking in, and
that's her.
And she's like 6 foot one.
Nice.
And so she walks in, and I immediately kind of think to myself, like she's beautiful first, and then she only meets like 5 foot eight fuckers all the time, so she's gonna be looking at the 6 foot six guy over there.
Yeah.
So you knew.
Chances were good.
Shoulders back. I was about 300 pounds at the time too, so it was not.
Above beef though.
Right. I mean, it was
of all Americanism.
And I walked up to her at one point and like wanted to show her. She was acting in the pilot, and I was kind of filming some things. And so I showed it to her, and I think she thought at first I was like the cameraman.
Awesome. Yeah.
She's like, oh, you have such steady hands. Because I saw the camera just right, I guess. Yeah. So we start talking.
By the way, chicks love steady hands. Little FYI from a couple of guys who've been there.
And we start talking about, you know, because she was a former athlete. She played volleyball, and we start talking about, you know, working out at our age now, older, being, and when we go see trainers and how the trainers would start, oh, you're a professional athlete, and start training us like we are getting ready to play in the Super Bowl again. And we're like, I'm fucking 45.
Yeah. My knees hurt.
I don't need to do anything explosive. Just let me, you know, be ready for bathing suit season. That's about it.
The goal was just to get down from 300.
Right. So we were talking about that, and, you know, I'm Googleable, so I have to like preface the conversation with, like, so I just got out of prison like 2 months ago.
All right, first of all, imagine being such a good person that you have to start with, I just got out of prison, and she's still with him right now.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
So that's how it started. I kept talking about how we need to go work out. We need to go like run these dunes in Malibu. Apparently there's some dunes that guys, professional athletes, run up, and I'd heard about it. And I kept talking about it. And she always tells people that we haven't ever seen those fucking dunes.
You never made it to the dunes.
And I gave her my number. I gave her my number. I didn't ask for hers. So like, if she wanted to call
Smart
me, she'd
move.
Call me, right?
Yeah. Also kind of the cowardly way out.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I mean, you know, I did a lot of cowardly things then because I was scared, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did, and we went on a date a couple nights later to a movie.
How long after you gave her the number did she call you?
2 days?
I think I texted you on the way out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, smart.
Nice to meet you.
Set it up. She was like, so he knows my
She's
number.
She's like, so here's my number. Yeah. You know, cheapskate, you fucking call me.
Yeah.
And so we went to a movie, and then I remember my brother showing up for the third day of filming that I didn't go to, and she was back on set. And he said, so I heard you talk to my brothers. I'm like, yeah, we already went on a date.
Nice.
He takes a lot of credit for all this.
Yeah, obviously. As he should.
And I still haven't seen that fucking gas money.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
By the way, you're crushing right now. So earlier when you're like, I don't think I can be funny.
My brother's a comic. I tell my mom I'm the fucking funny one all the time. Yeah.
By the way, so Ryan and he has his youngest brother, Brady, like both played college football.
Okay. But,
and Jeff, my friend, makes almond milk in Venice.
What a fucking loser.
That's
it's
the
amazing. Funny.
It's really good almond milk. And
it's really,
really
good.
Funny.
It's really, it is. It's really good.
And he is really funny.
Almond milk, bro. What do you think about that?
Is that a sponsor?
Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah. Bitch ass brother almond milk. Get it.
It is funny.
Get it.
That they, like, yeah, that they're all so what? Different.
In terms of almond milk, where would you say your brother was drafted?
Late.
Yeah, obviously. Maybe fifth, sixth round.
Yeah, but still pretty good.
He got drafted. That's the important thing.
He sells this milk, though, for like $32 a jar, so he's doing okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It is the best almond milk I've ever had.
What? How do you milk? How do you milk almonds?
It's like a cat.
It's also
that's all you had to say.
It's also what?
It's also sustainable.
Listen,
they milk the almonds and then they sell the almond
flour. Listen,
the almond
trees are literally drying up California water.
Yes. Well, he gets them from Thailand.
Is that right?
Yes.
Good. Fuck Thailand's water. It's moist as shit.
That's what I always say, man. Yeah. Fuck Thailand's water.
Now that I know that that's what's going on, a lot of people, you know, they think Thailand, they think hookers. Not me. When I think Thailand, you know, I go, abundance of water. How do we fucking get it? Your brother's doing it.
Through the almonds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he takes the almonds, blends the almonds with coconut water from... Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And started this in his garage, just making it for some buddies.
Yeah.
And himself, and a few people liked it. And then one of the Kardashians ordered it.
And that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. So... That'll do it.
The look of disgust was exactly the right look.
Hey,
it wasn't even specified. It was just like one of them. Who cares?
I can't remember which one, but it didn't matter. And it just went like gangbusters.
Yeah.
And now he...
They influence.
Yeah, they're influencers.
The Kardashians. Yeah. Can you influence? I feel like you could be an influencer.
I don't like that word, but okay.
You shouldn't like that word.
Yeah.
It is a negative connotation, but I feel like you've got enough clout, you could do it.
I am a, I don't know what I am. I'm a flawed human being that likes to...
We're all flawed human beings. You got drafted after who? Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
All right, so Peyton Manning wasn't even in a draft with me. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
He was not even what?
He's never even been in a draft that I was a part of. I've done fantasy football drafts.
One time this guy was just screaming at me after a game when I was walking out because he started me that week on his fantasy football team. Just screaming at me. I'm walking out of the stadium. I just keep looking at the guy. And I'm 22 years old, right?
Right.
And I think he's probably 50, and he's just motherfucking me up and down, like, you cost me so much money, did I leave? And I was just, I kind of had enough of him, and I looked up at him, and I was just like, dude, you're the fucking person that started me. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Take some accountability for what you've done.
Is there another option? Because
there's plenty of guys. Brett Favre was on the other side. Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah.
Right?
I do 100% put all the blame on the fantasy football owners. I've never made a wrong decision when anyone started, and I am currently in dead last in the Comedy Store fantasy football.
I only have one win. There's no way you're in last.
I also only have one win, and I obviously scored less points than you. I do know for a fact that we are the two bottom people in Comedy Store Fantasy. Do you play fantasy football?
No.
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 What?
Do you give a shit about football? Oh, you announce it now.
I love football.
Okay.
It, like, gave me everything.
Yeah.
So it was toxic for me for a long time, but I realized that was my doing, not football's. And so when I finally kind of was able to embrace that, it's like giving me so much back now.
Yeah.
I do it for a living, really. I host radio shows, you know, I travel around the country and speak to football programs and get to call college football games on the weekends, which is the coolest thing. I prepare all week. I was watching, you're right, Kansas sucks right now, but they're getting better, and they got a great coach.
Yeah.
And I watched their film today, preparing for the game, so I get to do all the things I used to do to prepare for a game. Get to go call it in the atmosphere of college football,
yeah.
And then I get the best part. I never lose. There's
right.
never an L on it. I get to go home and do it all over.
No one's shouting at you. You announced that game the wrong way, Lee.
No, I get a lot of Twitter's terrible about that. Like, you know,
it's a toxic place.
If they don't like the way you sound or how you represent their team, they'll let you have it. And for whatever reason, people think I sound like Will Ferrell when I call the broadcast. Like it's Ron Burgundy up there, you know? I'm just going to be like, milk was a bad choice. Yeah, at some point.
That is pretty solid, actually. Yeah, I mean, I try and stay completely toxic when I'm on Twitter. You know, just any interaction, I want it to be as bad as possible. But, you know, how long did you play in the NFL?
5 years.
You were 5 years. And then, was it pills? Is that?
Yeah, I got, I never had a drug in my life.
Really?
Except Vicodin. Okay. I tried weed in Amsterdam once, and I didn't like it.
How did that go?
I just got super high and went into the Batman Begins, the movie. And it was the worst movie to go see on Amsterdam Weed because it's about hallucinogens, really, you know? And oh, it's fucked up.
I like that you were in Amsterdam and you were like, we should go see the new Batman movie.
Well, I'll tell you, that Ryan Leaf, he knows how to party. It was like 10:30 in the morning. We went into one of the coffee houses. They give you the menu. You order, I think, a thing called Orange Bud, and I was just like...
Who are you with?
A little cousin of mine.
Okay.
And it was after I had retired from football, went back to college, finished my degree, and him and I went over and lived in Europe for like 6 months.
Oh, okay. That's
and,
cool.
And we just traveled all around Europe, and... I only got recognized like twice, and we got jobs in Rome at a streetside cafe, and they paid us in bottles of wine at night, and we sat on the Spanish steps and got hammered, and that's what, that was a pretty good trip.
Yeah.
But the Amsterdam part of it was, I was just so fucked up
yeah.
that I didn't know what to do, and I was like, I need to go sit like in a dark place, and Batman Begins just came out, and it wasn't starting for like an hour, so I walked into Madagascar, and the fucking mane of the tiger,
yeah.
that shit freaked me out, guys. I mean, it was like it came to life. That Ben Stiller fucking tiger came to life, or lion. It was a lion. Sorry.
I went to Batman Begins. Whoa, the tiger had a mane in that? Fuck, I must have been high when I saw it.
That's how high I was. So yeah. Yeah, long story short, only time I ever tried any other drug than this opiate painkiller that they gave me for all my surgeries. And I just got
you had a knee surgery? What
every surgery. Both knees, both ankles, both shoulders.
Wow.
I've had 15 surgeries, so... I got beat up for a living, right? I mean,
yeah.
Essentially what you do, you just kind of a crash test dummy back there.
Right.
And then the doctors just give you these things to get you through the week. You know, I take pills until Wednesday... Get off them, they'd shoot you up with cortisone or with Toradol on game day and go do it again.
Fuck. That's a fucking pain.
Paid you $5 million a year, though, so it was
yeah, that makes
it was a trade-off.
You know what? I would do pills for $5 million a year. I'm not a pill guy, but for $5 million, I'd be like, fuck it, let's do this. You're a bigger dude. How many Vicodin are you taking a day?
At the end there, it was bad. It was like I had to have 20 to get the result.
Yeah,
so,
did someone just say, yeah, boy? There's someone in the pills in the back, big surprise.
It was,
it was
bad. Like, and what got me in trouble was I'm back in my hometown, and I didn't have a doctor to prescribe them anymore, and I didn't know a drug dealer, so I used my hometown as a drug dealer. Went over to friends' homes, pretended I was, there to say hi to them, and then I go through their medicine cabinets to ultimately go into like open houses.
Really?
Pretending I was wanting to buy the home, and you know, 9 times out of 10, there would be some in a cabinet somewhere, and it just, you know.
So you're snooping around the house?
Yeah, well, I'm pretending I'm.
You're
looking at
it.
Yeah, and I just, oh, look at these cabinets, the hinges are really fucking nice.
Is there even enough room for medicine in here? Yes.
You guys have medicine in here, okay. And as soon as it was in my hand, it was like, you know, the ends justify the means.
Right.
But I'm not a very good criminal. Got found out pretty quick.
How long did you have to serve?
32 months. It's almost 3 years.
Okay. That's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Where did you serve?
In Montana, where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like adult daycare.
right.
There was not a deterrent, right? I had a little 13-inch flat screen at the end of my bed. Had the NFL Red Zone on Sundays in the fall.
Yeah! Wow.
Yeah, I was just a piece of shit sitting on my ass and they're not doing anything. And
that's American justice, guys.
It was.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who hit you the hardest in the NFL?
Ray Lewis hit me the hardest. He lacerated my spleen.
Jeez.
I was in the hospital in Bethesda. It was the year they went to the defense and won the Super Bowl 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were playing them in Baltimore. And, yeah.
I assume you leave the game at that point, or did you play more with a lacerated spleen?
We didn't know it. I finished the game, and then when I was in the locker room after the game, I just was like almost in the fetal position, and then I started like spitting up blood, and they were like, "Well, let's take you to the hospital. Check this out." They thought he had cracked a rib and had punctured my lung. Is what they thought had happened.
Oh, okay.
So. But it was just a lacerated spleen.
What's the treatment for a lacerated spleen?
Rest.
Rest. So it heals itself.
Yeah, it's self-healing. But I played the next week. So
I don't know how you got hooked on pills. Your spleen is bleeding, but we need you in there.
We're playing Tampa Bay next week.
What was the team record at that point? Do you remember? Were you guys competing, or was it just like...
I think we went 1-15 that year, so...
So important to get you back out there.
There was probably some escalator in my contract. If I threw enough touchdowns, I'd get another $1 million.
Right. Like who was your backup?
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Wow. Why are you excited about Jim Harbaugh? This Texas guy is freaking me out, man. He likes the strangest things. You announce games now.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the main thing you're doing?
The main thing I do is I speak. I go around the country and speak to, companies and recovery communities and communities in general just around the opioid epidemic. And, as you can tell, I don't take myself very seriously. It's a serious subject. And
it is, yeah, but at the same time, you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you have to have a sense of humor about it because I think that brings people in and makes it more relatable, too. So that's the foundation of what I do. I became a dad 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Our son just turned 4 this weekend, and so, like, dad's been overriding job occupation, especially during the pandemic, kind of like preschool.
I'm in the same boat. I have a 5-year-old, and the other day someone asked her what my job was, and she goes, he has a lot of jobs. What do you think my jobs are? She goes, one, you're a dad. I'm like, oh, that's nice. 2, you're a dinner maker. and then you act not that much, and you do comedy. And you're like, oh, all right, that's a pretty good list.
You know,
it did hurt, though, to hear her say, you act not that much.
That's
some bullshit.
It's the best job.
It is the best job
I have. So that's at the forefront. I do that, like I said, I host a radio show every day on Sirius XM, and then I do a bunch of other broadcasting stuff. That's what my degree was in, ironically enough.
You went back to Washington State?
Yeah, but I had gotten the journalism undergraduate when I was there before, and I just never put it to use. When I got out of the NFL, I was just like, I hated the media. I yelled at them and stuff like that, so I was like... That's the last place I wanted to be.
Right.
Probably one of the best place thing to do is to go, make my amends and learn how to learn the craft then instead of. But I had to go through my journey and come out the other side and get to do this and have a lot of fun. And now I live in Los Angeles and just around the corner, actually. So we come here a lot, or we did pre-pandemic and watch comedy. Craig Gass is a good friend of ours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's funny. And
Craig Gass, he's an incredibly great dude, funny comedian. When I first started working here, the Comedy Store was basically dead. Like, we honestly thought the club would be closed by 2004 or something. We'd be lucky in a week to get, like, maybe 45 total guests all 7 days. And Craig was doing Howard Stern a lot back then.
Yep.
And so he planned to do a main room show on Valentine's Day. And I remember because I was working the lot. And they were like, oh, we're doing a Craig Gass thing in the main room. I'm like, wow, maybe we'll have people at the comedy club for once. And so the Comedy Store went all out, and they made a big banner to hang up on the side of the building to let people know we're doing this show. And in true Comedy Store fashion, they made a banner that said, Greg Bass, Valentine's Day. And when I first saw it, I walked in, I'm like, who the fuck is Greg Bass? But like... blue-collar comedy was big then, and I just assumed Greg Bass is like a fucking...
Redneck comic.
He does all the bass fishing jokes.
I love bass jokes.
And then when I go, who's Greg Bass? And the manager was like, I don't know. I'm like, it says Greg Bass is going to perform. And he's like, no, Craig Gass. I'm like, that's not what it says. And then the manager walked out there, and he's like, motherfucker. And I was so excited. I'm like, this is the worst... company of all time. One, that they were like, we should advertise. Great. 2, they were like, make the banner. 3, they were like, no one needs to read the banner. Just hang it up. And then it was up for a while. It was probably up for 2 or 3 days before someone went and took down the Greg Bass fucking sign.
I gotta tell him that story.
Yeah, he I don't know if he knows or not. He probably wouldn't be too happy at the time, but
he's got a good sense.
Yeah, he's a good dude about everything now.
Ryan, how long have you been sober now and clean?
9.5 years. I'll be 10 years April 1st.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Congrats. That's great.
I thought, like, when I got to the end of the first year, you know, you just, like, went out and had a fucking great time and got to start over, but that's just not how it
that's
works.
That's not how it works?
No. You keep going. Bullshit. Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's a smart plan, I guess, to keep going, but, you know, again, a lot of these fucking losers here tonight have never played a goddamn game in the NFL. They're probably just rampant drug addicts like the people who work for this podcast, Tony.
Who replaced you after you left the Chargers? Who was the quarterback after you?
Doug Flutie kind of took over, but then it was Drew Brees.
Right.
Oh, and then
right.
Drew hurt himself, and they drafted Phillip Rivers and let him go off to New Orleans and win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Phillip Rivers had the career there. And then they drafted a kid named Justin Herbert here a couple years from Oregon, who's really special.
Pretty solid, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've been pretty fucking good at quarterback since me.
I mean, you started a trend.
I did.
What they said.
If anything, they should thank me.
Yeah. And Phillip Rivers wouldn't have 43 children if he didn't get that opportunity, thanks to the setup.
Because he wouldn't have the money to support
them. Exactly right. He would just be some loser with 6 or 7 kids coaching high school football, I think is what he does now. Just
helping
someone.
I think in Alabama somewhere.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good list of people. But still. Not a fan anywhere in the world. The Chargers have no fans. I went to a Chiefs game. There was probably, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of the stadium.
You went to the Chiefs game in San Diego?
In San Diego.
Arrowhead was my demise. That place is
it's a madhouse.
It's a place where people's careers go to die, I think. And worst game of my career there. And
really?
It was just a downpour, rain, monsoon, crazy. It just played terrible. Worst game of my life. And it was kind of where my career kind of started to spiral. Not because of how poorly I played, but I about assaulted a reporter on TV like a couple days later.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, that's exciting. Those are the things that make
those are the things fun. That you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the things that go, God, I've lived a good fucking life. Until you really almost assaulted a reporter, you haven't really done anything.
What happened?
He had reported something I had done in the locker room that they... before after the game, and I confronted him in the locker room about how, you know, if we're to have a good relationship moving forward, we're going to be together for a while. Locker room's kind of a sanctuary, you know. Let's kind of, and he you know, in great reporter fashion, he baited me a little bit, like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do, Ryan.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm the big tough football player, so I picked his ass up and I threw him in the chair, and I started just intimidating him and like scolding him, and there was a reporter in the corner with a camera, and he flipped it around and caught the end, and Junior Seau walks in with his shirt off looking all badass, pulls me out, you know, I'm motherfucking him up and down, and he throws me in the shower and turns the cold water on and,
damn,
and says, calm down, baby. Used to call me baby boy, and Junior, I miss him.
Legend, man.
And then, of course, this was before viral videos, right?
Right.
And this was like one of the first ones, and it was a caricature of me for forever.
Right.
I apologized the next day. My dad wrote an apology for me. He was down visiting. He helped me put this policy together, and I fucking didn't want to read it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see the video of me doing it. I'm like reading off this paper, and I look like this petulant child, just like, yeah, I'm fucking sorry.
I'm not saying that, Dad.
And then I just like, I finish it, and I just like flippantly just flip it into the locker, and I catch it all on video, and it's just, and I'm just standing, and I'm like, now it's over, right? Now I'm going to go play football, and fuck all you guys, and I threw 4 interceptions against the Giants the next week, and got booed during a Make-A-Wish Foundation commercial. And
I mean, that would literally be the pinnacle of my life. If I could get booed during a Make-A-Wish.
Right, you got terminally ill kids that I'm granting wishes to.
Boo! On
the and everybody's booing, and I know they were booing me, but the poor kid dying of cancer got booed too, and that's just inappropriate.
Honestly, they were such terrible people, I think they were booing the cancer kid.
Maybe.
That's what I heard anyway.
That's how I should have spun it.
Yeah, it would have been a good aggressive machismo move. Then you guys are booing the cancer kid. Jesus, what's wrong with you people?
How old was the reporter that you picked up and put in a chair?
I mean, when you're 22, everybody
looks 40.
Seems 50, right? So maybe 50, but yeah. He probably was like 39 and just looked really old.
Oh, was it one of the 39-year-olds we had here tonight? No. Wow, so did you physically pick him up off the ground?
Yeah, I kind of grabbed him by his shoulders, like two shoulders, and just kind of slammed him into the chair and then stood over him like, you know, the big, strong, tough football guy. I'm like, I'm fucking better than you.
You were letting him know.
Yeah, I'm letting him know that you are an idiot and that I'm better than you, and then I will, you know, I piss excellence and...
I've been there.
I'm fucking winner, Jay. His name is Jay, I think. Yeah.
What are there NFL players who were like good to you after you left and after you went through shit? Were there people who continued to be a good
after
person?
The fact? Yeah. I mean, I think when I got out of prison and I was so fearful of, first of all, I didn't think I belonged. Right? I thought I was this giant failure. So, like the average length of a career is 2.8 years, and I played 5, so it's like double. But the expectations were so big for me that I just felt like this, and I've been pounded over the head for so long that you're awful, that I believed it. So
you're probably comparing yourself to Peyton Manning since you guys are drafted 1-2.
Well, I haven't necessarily compared myself to him, just because there really isn't a comparison because of how successful he was. But you know, I had forgotten how good I was. Right? I've been told how bad I was for so long that I believed it.
Right,
and so I kind of walked around, and when I walked into rooms a lot with Hall of Famers and Super Bowl champs, like my body language acted as such. So my head was down, and if I ever got a compliment, I would be like, oh, "That doesn't fucking sound right." And if somebody says that Leaf's a piece of shit, I'd be like, "Yeah, that guy gets it, right?"
Yeah,
and that's the way I thought. So it's taken a lot of reconditioning. I'm still bad at it. I'm terrible at taking compliments, and but I also know that like being self-deprecating. Like, doesn't cost me anything at all. Zero.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Does anyone have questions they want
to
ask?
Are you still friends? Do you still talk to Peyton?
Yeah, we talk all the time. He had me come to his Hall of Fame induction with his family and everything, and just a few months ago, and that was a fun night. And, you know, at the night, we were sitting at the end there, and he had the cigar bar, and we were sitting there having a cigar, and just because we met 25 years earlier, back before there were cell phones, and our SIDs, sports information directors at Tennessee and Washington State, knew like we wanted to like talk with one another because we had an idea that we might be tied to one another for a while. So we started talking, but before cell phones, so you had to be home with a landline. Like he's calling at fucking 6:30.
Yeah,
I better be at home.
You gotta have that number written down in your
right. So he calls. And I remember picking up the phone, and I hear that, like, New Orleans Southern drawl. And I, like, cover up the mic on the phone and look at my boys. I'm like, it's fucking Peyton Manning. You know, I'm just this hick from Montana playing football, and I'm talking to Peyton Manning on the phone. And that was 25 years ago. And
I love that he's from the South, but you were like, I'm the hick.
Right.
He's all, hi, man. I just put my junk in a trainer's face.
Who hasn't done that?
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Who was drafted third?
Andre Wasworth.
Oh, okay.
Who?
What was Woods? Was Woodson drafted?
Four.
Four, yeah.
Charles
Woodson. Listen to that Heisman Trophy class, guys. So Charles Woodson won it. Mm-hmm. Peyton finished second. I finished third. And a guy named Randy Moss finished fourth.
Oh, never heard of him.
So the four of us took a picture that night, three of which are Pro Football Hall of Famers now. I always make fun of it, like there's us four pictures and like, you know, three Hall of Famers and that fucking dude on the end. And the ironic thing is I should have fucking won the award that night.
Yes,
because I was the best college football player in the country.
By far.
By far. Yeah. So screw them all.
Woodson is here. Bring him out. Oh, no.
Who else has a brother that makes almond milk?
Yeah. Not a single one of them.
Not a single one of them.
Has ever even had a Thai cashew or whatever it was. Thai almonds, that's what they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Milkman, by the way, everybody. Milkman with a Y,
MYLKMAN.com.
Order it now. They deliver like the old Milkman used to every Thursday here in Los Angeles.
To your house. And it's
to your house.
That's legit?
Legit.
Yeah, no, so
wow.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
but it's worth it.
It is.
I'm not buying it. I'm gonna.
We got the marketing guy to remarket it for
us. Yeah. Everyone's phone when they take them out of the bubble wrap pouch that we're pretending is security here. They're gonna be like, "Why does this almond milk ad keep popping up? This is crazy!" And we're gonna know it was that fucking guy. Does anyone else have a question? This is gonna be your only chance to talk to a winner.
Yeah.
Why were you in jail?
I was stealing painkillers.
So they caught you. Who caught you?
I walked out of the house. I went up to the house, knocked on the door. No one answered it. No one locks their doors in Montana. Just walked in. Found some pills on the way out. The family pulled up into the driveway. I was walking out. I made up some excuse that I was, you know, at the wrong place. I don't look like a burglar. I'm in, like, you know, slacks and a pea coat and... you know, I figure I talked my way out of it enough where I got in my car and drove off, and I had, and it didn't matter to me at that point. I was like, I got the pills, it doesn't matter now. So,
right.
And then the police showed up. I'm pretty easy to identify.
He's 6'6".
6'6", he's got a giant forehead, buck teeth, and he fucking, I think it's Ryan Lee. I know, it's Ryan Lee. So they didn't have to go through like a real photo lineup or anything. Like, it's fucking Ryan Lee.
They took out the drafted top four, yep, finalists for Eisen. They're like, was it one of these guys by any chance?
And they, you know, they showed up at my house, and I was so messed up. I didn't really realize it because I'd taken all the pills that I'd taken, and they took me into jail. And the booking officers told me the story later. Like, I was so messed up. Like, they looked over at one time, and I looked like a guy made of like Jello. My back was like bent over. I'm just messed up like crazy. They got me up at the podium doing my fingerprints, and I thought it was like a podium where I stand in front of and speak, and I like started giving a speech while they're doing like things. And then I said some fucked up shit because they put me in a suicide schmuck because now it's just, I'm flat ass naked with this thing on. I don't remember any of it, but they told me they put me into the little cell, the glass one, right there in the booking, and I'm sitting there, and before they close the door, I like bend over and look at them and go, "Hey guys, thanks for having me. If I can do anything for you, don't hesitate to ask."
Legend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of shit. I guarantee Montana police are like, "Have we told you about the time that Ryan Lee was here?"
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a story. And then the next day, one of the guys that was in and out in the drum tank or something like that pulled my, they put your mugshot with your rap sheet or whatever the hell on the outside of the door so the
everyone knows who
he
you
grabbed,
are.
The guy grabbed it, and like when he got, because he got out, he bonded out, and he sold it like to TMZ for a couple $1,000 or something like that.
Damn.
I give the guy some credit, man. Way to fucking make a
smart,
you know, hustle while you're in there, you know.
Yeah. How was jail? It was all right. I got Ryan Lee's fucking call sheet.
Yeah. He does not look good in that mugshot. Go look it up. Google it. It's just like eyes are going. I look like Tiger Woods' mugshot. It's just fucked up. It's like, one eye here, one eye there. When he got busted, I was like, I know what that dude's on.
Yeah.
I know what that dude's on. Yeah.
It's a familiar look.
Yeah. I saw that in the mirror for like 8 years. Yeah.
Brutal. So you got out. What do you do when you first got out? After, you said 32 months?
I had nothing. Like, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a cent. I didn't have...
You went through your money.
Yeah, blew it all.
On a summer in Italy, yeah, drinking wine.
Yeah, and private jets and stupid shit and an ex-wife and just...
Right.
Just, yeah, didn't care. And so I had nothing. Credit score was like 500. No, you know, nice. Disney Corporation, ESPN wasn't waiting around the corner to hire me when I walked out. I didn't have nothing, right? My mom and dad were there. They picked me up. And luckily for me, I had that. I had a couch I could crash on. And
yeah, family is good for that.
Yeah, it's
Almond Milk brother wasn't there for you though.
he was there the day I got arrested. Actually, because I had got arrested 2 days earlier. I got arrested twice in 48 hours.
Wow.
And
what was the first arrest?
Same
for?
Thing.
Oh, okay.
I think I can't remember. Either I had the pills or whatever. It was messed up. Well, anyway. When I fuck up, it's national news, right? It's ESPN banner. It's like, oh,
yeah,
Ryan Lee fucks up again, you know?
Yeah.
And so my brother and everybody in the world saw it, and so he flew up from, he lived in California, he flew up to Montana to take care of his older brother once again, you know? And so he was there when the police came in and arrested me that night, so he's always been there for me.
So family's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking nice. All right, and so you got KU, Texas Tech.
Yep.
What's the prediction? What do you think final score?
Well, if they play like they did against Duke, which was explosive on offense and got turnovers on defense, they can hang in this game.
Yeah.
Because Texas Tech just got their barn doors blown off by Texas and by TCU here in the last couple of weeks. So it's in Lawrence. It's going to be a little cooler. There's a Mexican restaurant in Olathe?
Yeah.
There's a Mexican restaurant there I've been dreaming about for like a week that I'm going to go to when I'm there.
Now I'm so confused. I'm like, I've never had good Mexican food in Kansas.
Well, I mean, it may not be good Mexican food. I just, for me, I've been on a diet for like the last year, so I fucking won't eat anything right now.
I always think it's funny when people go to Kansas City and they mention a place that's not barbecue. I'm always like, whoa.
Right.
They have other restaurants? Like, Jason Sudeikis, someone asked him from, like, the U.S. soccer team. They're like, hey, Ted Lasso, any recommendations? And he's like, go to Taco Villa, which is where we used to go when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why the fuck would you ever recommend Taco Villa? There's a wonderful lady who worked there with a very lazy eye. And that is legitimately the only thing I remember about Taco Bell.
Well, maybe it's improved.
Yeah, well, hopefully the eye is improved. Yeah. She's still there for sure. So
yeah, excited for that. Fly out tomorrow night. You know, land in, stay at the Hilton at Kansas City Airport tomorrow night.
Nice.
You know, drive to Lawrence.
Listen, when you're in Kansas City, there's no reason to go too much further than the airport. There's not a lot going on there.
Yeah, I'm going to be back, and then turn around. I got to go out and speak in Indianapolis and hopefully be back in Texas next week, calling TCU, West Virginia, hopefully. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm glad you're doing better, and that's cool that you're helping, sharing your story and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, this is fun. Thanks for having me.
Good, man.
Sarah's the best.
I can't believe you know the Leafs.
I do. I know. Yeah. I know. It's a really, well, like, I knew his brother, and then my boyfriend is the sidekick on the Rich Eisen show,
right.
And Ryan started filling in for Rich Eisen on that show, so I got to know him and his story. And then I was at a Dodgers game, and I saw him and his lovely fiance, and I was like, oh my god, I think that's Ryan Leaf sitting in front of me. And Chris was like, you should go say hi, and I'm like, there's no way. And then I did, and then here we are. He's doing this, and
you conned him into being here tonight.
I know.
Oh no, she paid me $1,000.
I
knew it.
I did.
That makes more sense.
Her boyfriend and I, we became good friends too. We go play golf all the time, and
Ryan is an incredible golf. Like, he is under par. Like, he could be on the tour. He is such a good golfer. That is why, on top of all the dieting and the work he's done on himself, I think that's why he's in such good shape, is because he plays really good.
Plays golf.
Yeah. What do you shoot? Like a 70? Like 69, 70?
The day we and Chris went and played, I shot a 270. I had two eagles.
He's a very good golfer.
I can easily double that, 140.
Yeah. No, I can do that too. I can do that too. When LA shut down, like, there was no other place to go but the golf course.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I started going like every day. She was letting me go every day, which was so sweet of her.
She was letting me go.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
And and I got pretty good. And it was good. It's just, it was one of the things I started doing out of prison, because you know, just developing fellowship again with people. You know, you spend 4 or 5 hours with somebody, it's good for the soul and environmentally therapeutic to be out in nature.
Outside,
it's also infuriating that someone can be so good at football and golf.
Yeah.
Like,
I was actually better at basketball, but
what?
So yeah.
You're better at basketball than football?
Yeah.
What? Why did you choose football then?
I got drafted second overall.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's a pretty good reason, honestly. In hindsight, when I think about it,
I almost said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go play in the D League." Let's do it. Yeah.
I saw post an article about Tom Brady and how he got drafted by the Expos to be a catcher, and so the Expos were convinced that he was trying to decide between playing minor league baseball or playing for Michigan.
Yeah.
And the Expos drafted him, and they brought him on to, like, let him hang out with the team, and everyone on the team was like, go play football for Michigan. And I don't know if it was just an Expos thing, and they're like, you will literally be terrible forever here.
It was a Canadians thing.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting.
People
monsters.
Think Canadians are nice, not Canadian baseball players, they're assholes.
This is why you're here, because I fucking hate Canadians. Despicable people. Are there Canadians here? Good.
That was my one. It's been a giant con job. Just really has.
They've been tricking us, sitting on their fucking high horse of judgment for years, and now we know.
And
their
socialized medicine, all that bullshit, right?
Unbelievable. And
what do you call them, Rick?
I call them frostbacks. I call them maples.
Dirty maples.
Dirty, filthy maples. Icicle chuckers. White Walkers.
I like White Walkers.
I mean, they're just some of the worst human beings. I hope no one up there is going to ever hear this or see it, because they are absolute monsters, and we're keeping an eye on you, the fucking bronze medal of North America. That's what you are. That's what you are.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's only three countries, but at the same time, you could also say they're last place. And I 100% give the silver medal to Mexico. So, you know, enjoy that, Mexico. That's what my gift to the world, really. Well, thank you for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Ryan Leaf, everyone. Thanks, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. I feel like it's sad that we didn't get a stranger shirt for Ryan, but I feel like... You do have one? Do you think it's going to fit?
I don't know.
Did you get man size? Because it seemed like we only got 39-year-old size.
Yeah, it's an XL.
All right.
I'm an XL now.
If it ends up being like a crop top, that would be pretty cool, too. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, guys. You guys are great. Is there anything else we need to do? Some people want... Who wants a trucker hat?
Yeah.
Draw some more names out of the hat or whatever, yeah. Or you can just give them to
these people. Just raise their hands.
Give them to people.
You should have me throw it at them.
Dude, great idea. About to take them out, man. Damn. Fuck yeah, that's... Last one. Woo! Nice, man. Thank you. You guys just caught passes from a fucking pro. Thanks for listening, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM IngramPod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to The Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.